Kaplan versus Regions Bank. Mr. Wyrick.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Jonathan Wyrick. I'm here on behalf of the appellants in this case, Catherine Kaplan, MK Advanta LLC, R1A Palms LLC, Triple Net Exchange LLC, B&K Smith LLC, and MK Investing LLC. For the sake of clarity, if there are any questions or I'm discussing the Kaplan entities, I'll be referring to them by their more abbreviated names.
On appeal, I have a really technical question.
And yes, Your Honor.
I don't know if you'll immediately know the answer. I hope one of you will. So in the judgment, the district court listed an amount of $742,543, but earlier in its order, it referred to a similar amount, but a $20 difference, $742,523 instead of $543. Which is right?
I do not know the answer to that at this point, Your Honor. I'd be happy to either look for it or we can.
Well, maybe your opposing counsel will have an idea about that. But
certainly,
okay.
Our primary we have several arguments before this court on appeal, but the primary one that we presented as an issue of first impression is essentially this: whether a claim for fraudulent transfer under Florida's Fraudulent Transfer Act, Chapter 726, whether a claim can remain if the transferee of the alleged fraudulent transferred asset has reconveyed the asset back to the debtor. We have provided a number of authorities to the court for the proposition that the statute supports that the answer to that question is no. The claim cannot remain. If the transferee returns the asset that is the subject of a fraudulent transfer action, if it's reconveyed, then it means that the action is nullified.
Counsel, let's assume that I agree with you on the legal proposition. It seems to me that the trial court found that repayment, quote unquote, was a sham and wasn't really a repayment. Is that right?
Your Honor, I'm asking
if the trial court found that or not.
I'm not sure what the trial court found specifically, because the way that the order is written and the way that the findings are laid out, the trial court itself characterized the defense that we had mounted, or the argument that we had mounted, as Mrs. Kaplan was repaying the 2015 transfers by paying the legal bill.
Counsel, let's assume that I find, or I read the order as making that finding. I want to go through the following evidence with you and ask you if there's competent substantial evidence. And I have a feeling that's a different standard here, but that's not clearly erroneous. How about that? A, the trial court found that the money was used for attorney's fees, and that attorney's fees was woefully overpaid given that the bills were inflated, and that there were a number of different entities and the amount wasn't divisible just for her and for other of the entities, number one. Number two, that the money then got filtered to the Rosenberg Trust, which the testimony seemed to support that was actually a trust in favor of Catherine, who was the one doing the quote-unquote repayment. Is that not sufficient evidence for which the trial court or the district court could find that actually wasn't a repayment, but in fact was part of a fraudulent scheme to filter the money back to her?
No, Your Honor, I disagree that there was enough competent evidence for the court to have concluded that. There was no testimony that the wires in May of 2016 were sent by Kathy from her Chase account for the purpose of repaying Parrish White and Yarnell's attorney fees. That was never the testimony.
Well, whether it was the purpose or not, that is what happened, right? And your argument about repayment is it actually went to the Kaplan entities because it went to pay their legal fees.
No, that's not quite our argument, Your Honor. Our argument is that at the time that the 2016 return happened, the Kaplan entities were having difficulty maintaining bank accounts. The money, the full amount of the principal of those 2015 transfers was returned to the trust account to be held on behalf of the entities. From that point, the manager of the entities, Mr. Kaplan, directed that the attorney fees be paid and that the balance be directed
elsewhere. If the trial court found that instead it was for the purpose of the attorney's fees, because in fact it went to attorney's fees, two, that the attorney's fees were way overinflated and weren't for that purpose at all, and three, that $300,000 of that money ended up back in Kathy's pocket, shows that it was a fraudulent transaction or it wasn't meant for the purpose of the repayment?
Your Honor, there is no competent evidence in the record to support that. That is an inference that is being made. That is an argument.
Can a trial judge make an inference from testimony and evidence before it? Isn't that what a finder of fact does?
They certainly can, Your Honor, but I believe in this situation you have the weight of the evidence. Everyone who is providing any evidence on this issue is saying that the repayment is a singular act, which is Kathy Kaplan transferring the money back.
Is the problem for your argument, though, that we're not in the business of weighing the evidence? The trial court does that or district court does that, and our job is just to see if there's at least some evidence in support of those findings or of those conclusions of those inferences?
Well, Your Honor, our argument is that there is no evidence really supporting that finding. You have to look, under fraudulent transfer law, you have to look at the distinct transactions in isolation, in essence. The transfers go out in 2015. Kathy Kaplan repays that with interest in 2016. At that point, you have the repayment. You have closed off.
You're telling me the trial court can't then look that shortly after that, $300,000 of that money goes back into her pocket as a basis for which to then say that maybe that's not what it really was? Trial court can't do that?
Well, the trial court can certainly take a look at that if it's trying to figure out in equity what remedy should be afforded here. But with regard to the transactions themselves, you have to look at what was actually testified to. You have to look at the evidence that's actually on the record.
The district court's order is littered with references to the fact that he found the Kaplans incredible, their testimony incredible.
He disbelieved
testimony. That may be the case, Your Honor, but the problem with what the ultimate finding was is that even the trial court in its order remarked that the explanation that it ultimately found, which was that the repayment was paying for the PWI legal bills, it even remarked that that didn't make any sense. So what you're left with is you're looking at what was testified to, what the evidence supported, which was that the repayment occurred in May of 2016, or you're looking at a different...
He disbelieves the testimony.
Yes, Your Honor.
And he sees what actually happens to the money. He can draw reasonable inferences from that, can he not? This was, in fact, not what they testified to, but was, in fact, a fraudulent transfer. Courts do that. If we accept your argument, it would hamstring the ability of district courts to make determinations about fraudulent transfers incredibly, it seems to me.
Well, I don't believe so, Your Honor, because there isn't evidence on the other side to support the conclusion that was ultimately drawn. It's one thing to disbelieve the testimony or not credit the testimony, but as the district court is looking at what occurred, there really isn't anything on the other side to suggest, especially if the court is going to ascribe an intention on the witnesses, as in the intention of these May 2016 wires was specifically just to pay the legal bills. If all of the testimony on the record is not that, it's that the wires were there to repay the 2015 loans, which were the fraudulent transfers, then I don't know how the court can disregard.
Counsel, let me ask you this, counsel. If the testimony had been, the undisputed testimony for whatever reason had been, mm-hmm. the transfer was done as a repayment, but immediately afterwards the trust fund wired back $300,000 to Catherine.
Right.
You would agree that would be problematic, right?
It could be, Your Honor, but that's a separate occurrence.
I understand. You agree that would be problematic for your prepayment
argument.
He
said it could be.
For your hypothetical, it could be, Your Honor, but even if that were the case, even taking your hypothetical, there still wouldn't be enough evidence to then go ahead and enter a full judgment against Kathy Kaplan for the full amount.
I understand. How's it different for the could be that you've conceded to that it happened 2 months later, that it went into a trust account that was held for her benefit?
Well, it could be because in a case, if that were actually an allegation, if that were actually a claim that Regions Bank had brought and said, you know, there's a $360,000 transfer that left the trust account and went to Kathy Kaplan, we believe that was a fraudulent transfer, then you might have another set of proofs. You might have another set of testimony. We may have had an occasion to bring more evidence of what that transfer was for.
That was the evidence at the hearing, was it not? I mean, that's what evidence was in the record, that money transferred is just as I described it, right?
Yes, that's correct.
There was no objection that I know of that was outside the pleadings in any particular way, right?
Well, there was no objection because that was not what was being sought by Regions Bank, I suppose is how I should caveat
that.
No, but
if that is evidence that ultimately this was not really for repayment, but in fact was a way to get money back to Kathy and look like a repayment, which is how I read the trial court, how is trial court not allowed to make that inference based on that circular transactions?
Well, Your Honor, because there's, other than that fact that there was some additional money that left at a later point.
Well, there's the inflated legal bills too. Yeah.
Well, but that was not conclusively established. Well, that was argument that was made, Your Honor.
There was one bill one day that was 44 hours, right?
I believe so. I'll take your word for it, Your Honor. I don't recall the exact bills.
Tell me that that's not the record. You're telling me that's not the record, that one,
no,
there was one
I'm
day's
not,
worth of bills
I'm
for 44 hours?
I'm not disagreeing with you, Your Honor. That may very well be the record. I don't know as I stand here if that was what was found.
How's the trial court not allowed to make that finding based on that evidence?
Well, it certainly can, but that's a different inquiry, Your Honor. The inquiry of whether or not the $500,000 was reasonable, that might be an inquiry for another case if for instance, they were to accuse our firm of you know, fraudulently billing or taking money that was a fraudulent transfer. But that has nothing to do with Kathy Kaplan, is I suppose my point. The evidence on the record, and even Regions Bank argued this, was that Kathy had no direction in what was going on.
Setting aside the issue of what their intent was or what their motivation was, is there any dispute that the money was transferred as we've been discussing? You're not claiming the money didn't go to the places where the judge found it went, right? You're just arguing about the intent of the Kaplans.
Correct. I'm arguing about what the import was of the money. So there's no dispute that in 2015, the money went to Kathy Kaplan's account. I don't think there's also any dispute that she wired the money plus 5% interest from her Chase account to the Parrish White and Urinell Trust account. The testimony on the record is that that money was being held in trust for the Kaplan entities, and that from there, Mr. Kaplan directed the bills to be paid. The court interpreted what happened to say that that Kathy Kaplan's wires from the trust account, or I'm sorry, from her Chase account, were strictly to repay the bills. They didn't serve any other purpose. And then it questioned, well, why would there have been a surplus going into the account, which would obviously be a logical question to ask. However, again, that's not what the testimony was. The testimony was that the transfers in 2016 from the Chase account were a singular transaction designed to repay, and that was directed by Mr. Kaplan. Mrs. Kaplan simply complied with what he's asking. Ultimately, Your Honors, we are asking, among other things on the briefs, we're asking that this court not give its imprimatur on a judgment for almost $900,000 on a 40-year housewife who, it's argued even by my colleague here, didn't have any real direction at what was going on. And so with that, I'll yield to my colleague. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Perkins.
May it please the court, Joe Perkins on behalf of Regions Bank. Not only did Chief Judge Merriday not commit clear error and find based on substantial and competent evidence that the purported repayment of the loans reeked of an odor of fraud, there was also not credible evidence in the record as to the source of the money that Catherine Kaplan used to send those wires. Yeah. Before lunch, Catherine Kaplan testified that the source of the money deposited into her account a few days before sending the wire to the trust account was the Kaplan entities themselves. During lunch, Ms. Kaplan conferred with her husband, with her counsel, and was told that she was wrong. You need to change your testimony. So we get back from lunch. Catherine Kaplan testifies, oh, I was wrong. The source wasn't the Kaplan entities. It was a real estate deal. Now Chief Judge Meredith started questioning her. What was the deal? Where was the money? Did the money from the deal go directly to you, or did it go through a trust account? She had no idea. So there's no credible evidence as to the source. There is no clearly erroneous factual finding as to the alleged repayment. Therefore, on this basis, the court should affirm.
Thank you. Mr. Weinrich, you have 2 minutes.
Okay. Just to, may it please the court. Thank you. Just to respond to the argument about the source of the funds, in this case really aren't relevant. It's undisputed that they came from her checking account and went to the trust account. And if I may, just by brief analogy, because we're dealing with cash, which is fungible, the source can come from a variety of different locations and sources, but the inquiry that the court is looking at for purposes of fraudulent transfer law is, were the debtors who initially transferred the funds, did those funds come back to the debtors from the person that the funds were originally transferred to? That's the inquiry, and that's what occurred. It would be no different than if we were all to meet for lunch in the cafeteria and one of you borrowed $10 from me to pay for your lunch, and a week later were to pay me back. You didn't have the money, and you borrowed it from another associate judge and gave the money to me. If we were in the same position here, my creditors could not claim that the source of the $10 didn't come from you and therefore you're liable for $10, because you have already given me back. You have already reconveyed the property. It's money. The source is not really the issue. The issue is whether or not the debt has been repaid back to the debtor, such that now the creditor, in this case Regions Bank, has no cause of action. Once the asset is reconveyed, once that is established, it nullifies the cause of action because there's nothing left to be clawed back. Your Honor, I believe that the facts in this case support adopting the widespread rule that we briefed about the reconveyance of assets in fraudulent transfer cases. And for all the other reasons that we said in our brief, we believe that the district court was in error as a matter of law and clearly erroneous on the facts. I submit the remainder of my argument on the brief. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Go to our final.